listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Welcome back to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. The Browns proudly support the United Way of Greater Cleveland as they mobilize our community to advance education, income, and health. Join us and live united at unitedwaycleveland.org. We go back to the Ohio Business Machine hotline right now and bring in Eric Edholm from Yahoo Sports, who wrote an article today on the Browns' release of Ben Tate and just kind of the futility of running backs in the free agent market this season. Eric, are you surprised by the Browns' decision, and what do you think? What kind of statement did that make?
No, not really at all. I mean, I think obviously people were sort of wondering who would emerge from that three-headed backfield. And, you know, when Tate had really struggled recently and, you know, some word that maybe he was a divisive guy in the locker room, you know, that maybe his personality didn't exactly fit in with the team that Mike Pettine wants to build there, it makes sense. Did they bite hard on a contract from the offseason? Yeah, I mean, it's not chump change. I mean, I think people look at it and say, oh, okay, you know, 2 years, $6 million, no big deal. But, you know, that's money that can be used and allocated in other ways. So sometimes you have to make these hard business decisions. Look at the Steelers. They released LeGarrette Blount after he left the field last night. They gave him a multi-year deal. So, there's a pattern here. And I think guys like Mark Ingram and DeMarco Murray, you know, I mean, they're great players. Are they going to get the money they probably expect in the free agent market this year? No.
Eric, my question for you is, with the discontent inside the locker room and some of his comments that truly only exist because of the emergence of Terrence West and Isaiah Crowell, is this one of those situations where you hang on to a guy like Ben Tate if he's producing on the field, but because he's not, and you've got two other great backups that are younger and cheaper than him, it makes it a very easy decision?
Yeah, right. I mean, I think they obviously signed him for a reason. The thinking was, hey, this is a guy who could be a nice little bridge player. I mean, he was obviously very good in a complimentary role at times in Houston. They moved on from him, though, even with Arian Foster's injury history. So it kind of shows you, and without a lot of depth behind him, I mean, they had Alfred Blue, a six-round pick, and the rest were, you know, three free agents and rookie free agents in Houston. So to me, that was pretty telling. They didn't really make any kind of effort to re-sign him, and there wasn't much of a market beyond Cleveland for Tate. There weren't a lot of teams knocking down his door, but they obviously felt, hey, we bring him in. We've got a couple of backs that we like, but we're still questioning. We're still wondering about. You know, this is a good situation that'll work itself out. But you're right. When he wasn't producing like he was earlier in the season, I think that combination made the most sense for the team.
Ben Tate, 53 carries for 90 yards in his past five games. Obviously, the performance on the field was part of it, as we talked about off the field as well. When you look at this Browns team, though, Isaiah Crowell, Terrence West, what stands out to you about these two young backs, and how do you see kind of that workload being split up over the rest of the season?
Well, it's fascinating to watch West in college, you know, and obviously a lot of people were still learning about him, I think, when the Browns took him. And, you know, maybe took him a little higher than some people thought, but it didn't shock me. I mean, I thought he was a really productive player. You know, had a nose for the end zone in college, had an Alfred Morris-like performance. You know, a thought offshore guy who has a little burst in between the tackles, seems to have a good sense for sniffing out the openings, holes. So I was a fan of his. Now Crowell may actually be the more talented running back in some people's thoughts. Yeah. Obviously, he had some problems. You know, took sort of a circuitous route through college, but that's another indication of spending big resources, whether it's free agency or the draft, on the running back position. It's buyer beware, because, you know, look at guys like Crowell, look at Jonas Gray for the New England Patriots, look at Arian Foster undrafted. There's a pattern history of low round picks like Alfred Morris, undrafted guys like Arian Foster, who outperform their status by tenfold. And so I think that's the debate you have if you want to spin it forward. Todd Gurley, Melvin Gordon, you take a first-round pick on these guys when you can find really good backs way down the line.
Yeah, Eric, from a national perspective, how do you weigh in on the Cleveland Browns after a tough loss this past Sunday against the Houston Texans, able to rebound with, games against Atlanta, who are still fighting for their playoffs hope, and the Buffalo Bills as well, essentially still alive in the AFC East?
Yeah, right. I mean, two road games that, I think you can sort of live with and say, hey, you know, the Falcons might be a first place team, but they certainly don't pass the smell test on that one. I mean, yeah, they have a lot to fight for, and the Bills, I guess, mathematically remain in the fight. Losing to Miami certainly hurt them last week, but these are if you're going to have games on the road, these aren't too bad places to play. You can get Josh Gordon back in at the lineup. You're still 6-4. I know everyone made a big deal out of being in first and then falling to last place. Look, it's so tight in the AFC North right now. Does it worry me that they've lost games that they probably shouldn't have? Yeah, absolutely. I mean, they had their chances in the first two losses. They lose the Jacksonville game, which I think shocked everybody. Last week coming out listless and not able to put forth a complete performance. It does concern you, but they've had enough victories this season to make me think that they're competitive. They've won some close games. You know, Hoyer's got some something. You know, he's got that je ne sais quoi, whatever it is. But I still am a little nervous. Obviously, you've got Colts and Bills and a couple other competitive teams still on the schedule as well.
Eric, right now, you know, Ben Tate is, some people think, maybe addition by subtraction, but on the defensive side of the ball, the injuries mounting up for this Browns team. Carlos Dansby, Jabal Sheard go down this week. They've already lost Armani Bryant, John Hughes, Phil Taylor. How worried are you about this defense's ability to handle, you know, the remaining schedule for the Browns?
Yeah, right. No question about it. I mean, you know, I've been waiting for Desmond Bryant to kind of break out, you know, a Tyber Rubin as well, Billy Winn, and some of these guys up front. You know, we'll see. I mean, obviously, they're coming into the year, I kind of felt like this is a defense that could be a top-10 unit in the NFL. Hasn't played to that level. You have to point to the losses and say, yeah, there's a big reason why. Now, early on in the year, that wasn't as much of an excuse, but it certainly is now. And, you know, it gives them a chance, I suppose, to see some of these younger guys, but it's really hard to replace all that talent that they've lost in the front seven. You know, with some good running teams left on the schedule, too. That's something that takes into consideration when teams start to try to pound and wear you down over 60 minutes.
It definitely does. And again, another position for the Cleveland Browns that falls under a significant amount of scrutiny, mostly because of the guy that backs up at this position in Johnny Manziel. How do you personally weigh in on Brian Hoyer, and how do you feel the Browns should approach this situation? Is it a wait-see kind of perspective, or is it something you think a contract that they should get done sooner than later? And if, is Brian Hoyer the guy to be the long-term fix here at the quarterback position?
Yeah, I mean, he's not your prototypical franchise quarterback, but, I mean, if we have to put it in Brown standards and say, hey, you know, they haven't had somebody really reliable. I mean, the local kid, obviously, as you guys know, and you know, he's played well at times. Is he going to go out and win a Super Bowl? I'm not sure, but, you know, a bird in the hand and all that stuff. It's hard to let those guys go and not really get anything back in return. So I'd look to sign him to an extension. I mean, obviously, there's been these whispers. I don't know. They may have been floated by his agent, Joe Linton, but Tennessee, Houston obviously had some connections to Hoyer with O'Brien there. There are going to be multiple teams looking for quarterbacks that, you know, with a draft that appears to be two guys at the top and a big drop-off, you know, all of a sudden his price tag goes up pretty high. And for me, yeah, you spend a first-round pick on Johnny Manziel, but is anybody certain that he's ready to go yet? The only people who know, I think, are the coaches. They haven't really given any indication that he's going to be playing anytime soon. So I suppose if they fall from the race and you see them really fall off, and, you know, you want to give them a couple cracks late in the season, you know, that's okay with me. But that wouldn't necessarily guarantee him being the starter entering 2015 in my mind if he's not the best guy.
Talking with Eric Edholm from Yahoo Sports right now, covers the NFL for Yahoo. And Eric, Josh Gordon makes his return, obviously, this week. That was, we thought, going to be the big story of the day until we found out about Ben Tate. What do you make of Josh Gordon's return? How big of an impact can he have, and what will he mean to this team and this offense?
Well, I mean, he's a guy who can put up 100 yards in his sleep. I mean, he's that talented. Some people actually feel he is the most gifted, naturally gifted receiver in the NFL. You certainly can say, you know, Calvin Johnson. You know, you look at the way Jordy Nelson and Antonio Brown are playing, and certainly they're on a different plane this season. But just in terms of raw physical skills, I mean, this guy can do everything, as you guys are well aware, and yet. How quickly can he, you know, get back up to that NFL speed? I mean, it may take him two series. It could take him two games. I don't know what the answer is. I haven't seen him work out. I don't know what kind of shape he's in. Have he been diligent? You know, has it just been doing his little side job there? Or has he also been, you know, staying up with his strength and his speed training too? So That's a big question. Obviously, his body should be in pretty good shape in terms of wear and tear. Last time we saw him was the preseason. He got a lot of action in the preseason. So he's not really that far removed from playing in a football game. So, you know, if you think of it like a player coming back from injury or rehabbing, probably no different than that. But this is only a guy who's been out since August. So I think he's going to be fine. You know, I mean, obviously you think maybe it takes away from Taylor Gabriel a little bit, but I think this just adds another dimension that can help those rookie running backs out.
This matchup coming up in Atlanta, a big one for the Browns. They have not lost back-to-back games all season long. You look at the schedule after it, it gets very challenging. How do you see this matchup? Because it seems like it's a Falcons team that's best throwing the ball in a Browns D right now that's best stopping a pass.
Yeah, you're right. No, there's no doubt about it. I mean, you know, we'll see if the pass rush is there, but certainly they've had some nice moments in coverage. You know, there were a couple plays that I think they'd like to have back the past few games to drop interceptions and some balls they probably should have gotten in the way of. But, yeah, it's not a good Falcons team. I mean, don't get fooled by the first-place standings, and I don't think many people are. But, you know, they have a lot of flaws, and I just don't have a lot of faith in the Falcons. Their offense seems to be wholly dependent on getting the ball in the wide receiver's hands. Offensive line, not a great pass-blocking unit. Defensively, they have their warts. I guess they did a pretty good job on Sunday for most of the game against the Panthers, but that's a wounded Panthers offense, too, so I don't put too much stock in that. I think it's a great chance to get out of town, clear their heads, get Gordon back in the offense, and I think the Browns have a shot to win this one for sure.
Eric Edholm from Yahoo, thank you so much for your time with us here today on a very newsworthy day in Berea, as we certainly found out when Ben Tate was released this morning. Buyer beware at the running back position in free agency. Check out Eric's article about that right now at yahoo.com. Eric, thanks so much.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate it.
All right. When we come back, Tom Withers will be with us to kick off the second hour right at 2 p.m. So you want to hear from him. Covers the Browns for the Associated Press on a big statement day for the Browns releasing Ben Tate. And then throughout the second hour, we will continue to get your thoughts on this situation, your feedback, 216-578-0850. That's the way to call up. And we'll get to those calls as the second hour progresses here on ESPN 850 WKNR. Don't you tell them what we do.